Welcome to the Nightly Five podcast with Ben O'Shea.
The federal government is under pressure to explain why an immigration detainee who allegedly assaulted a Perth grandmother was released in the first place.
Yesterday we spoke about a shocking home invasion in the Perth suburb of Girraween, allegedly committed by a former immigration detainee that had been released as part of that infamous High Court decision last year. Federal politics reporter Dan Jervis-Bardi is on the line from Canberra. Dan, the Prime Minister has now commented on this case.
Yeah, so the Prime Minister was asked about what you described and what is a shocking case. And the Prime Minister, he effectively said, look, the thoughts go out to the couple, the thoughts of all Australians are with the couple, so extending his sympathy to them. He didn't elaborate beyond that. He noted the matter was still before the courts and obviously a subject of a police investigation, so limited in that sense of what he can say. But he did express his sympathy for what was a horrific attack, and the images of which has been circulated and sort of splashed across newspaper front pages today.
Yeah. And Majid Jamshidi Dukoshkin faced court on Monday in Perth, charged with his alleged involvement in this terrifying attack, in which it's alleged he was one of three men who conned their way into this elderly couple's home, pretending to be police officers, before beating the 73-year-old Nanette Simons and stealing $200,000 worth of jewellery. What do we know about Jamshidi Dukoshkin?
So we know this man was in immigration detention. He was one of the cohort of non-citizens that were freed from detention after that landmark High Court ruling last year. He's a 43-year-old. He was born in Kuwait. We know that he was in court in February, and he was in court because he had repeatedly breached his curfew. So a curfew was imposed on detainees who were released after this ruling. The government, as you might recall, passed emergency laws giving them the power to impose certain conditions on these individuals to monitor and keep track on them. Curfew was one of them. And this individual had repeatedly breached that curfew, and that was why he was in court at that time.
Mm. And now, you've got an update to this story relating to this alleged attack.
Yes, I do. So another one of, I guess, the powers that were given to Commonwealth authorities to monitor this cohort was the ability to fit them with electronic monitoring devices. Now, I have just learned and had it confirmed from the government that this individual was not wearing one of those monitoring devices. And the reason is that basically after the laws were passed last year, the government set up what's called the Community Protection Board. It's made up of Commonwealth Department officials and sort of law enforcement experts. And their job was to assess the cohort of former detainees to determine which of the conditions they should be subject to. They make an assessment of those individuals, what risk they pose to the community. They look at their history, they look at their past offences, their behaviour in detention or in custody, and determine, you know, what are the most reasonable conditions to be imposed on them. And the recommendation from that board in relation to this individual was that he didn't need to be fitted with an ankle monitoring device, and we've been able to confirm that decision today. So I'm sure that's going to spark a lot of debate. Certainly it will spark a lot of political debate about whether enough is being done to protect the community, and certainly these questions will be put to the government, where we're still yet to hear from Immigration Minister Andrew Giles or Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill, but these questions will certainly be put to them when they eventually do surface.
Mm. Well, talking about that political debate, this detainee release debacle has been an embarrassment for the government. Another former detainee has been charged this week in Melbourne for breaching his curfew and for one count of failing to maintain his monitoring device. What is the opposition saying?
So this is, I think, the opposition is just making the point that the government has not handled this competently. I think that's probably a polite way to describe the way that the opposition has characterised it. But we've seen a number of these instances now where former detainees have been rearrested and charged with breaching conditions, whether it's curfews, whether it's maintaining their monitoring device. And each time these, you know, notifications of these arrests and charges are made and it becomes public, the coalition is very quick to seize on this. They're making a lot of political mileage out of this issue, and the government, you know, this has been going on for months now, and every time the issue resurfaces, as it's done periodically over the past couple of months, the government has really struggled to get on the front foot and to be able to, I guess clearly reassure the public and also to limit any political damage to them, which has been significant since, you know, really since November.
Yeah, talking about political damage, you know, Albo, you know, he's not putting out spot fires at the moment. He's basically living in a dumpster fire. We'll see what happens next. A federal politics reporter, Dan Jervis-Bardi, we appreciate your time on the Nightly Five.
Great. Thanks, mate.